Well, this morning we're celebrating baptism, welcoming two young folks into the body of Christ, into the family of the church, Ella and Alexander. And one of the things we provide each month is a baptism class, the first Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock. Anyone is invited to come to class, and one of the clergy lead the class to teach about baptism. So folks that have children who are preparing for baptism come. Some folks have even come while they're still pregnant, haven't had the child yet to come to the class. But people come as they know that baptism is coming. And one of the things we do in that class is to go over the baptismal service. Of course, just parenthetically, if people can't come to that class, certainly can just catch up with one of the clergy. We meet with folks as well doing that. But one of the things we do in the class is go over the service a bit, go over the words, the things that are being asked. There's a sentence after the children have been presented. There's these questions that come up where people are asked to renounce things. I renounce them. And one of the questions is, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? And the answer is, I renounce them. One of our classes, one of the parents, one of the dads one time said, can I just ask a question? I said, sure. I just got to be honest. I hope this is okay, he said. But I'm not sure I believe so much in like a Satan, like a devil in the image that we have. And so if I'm going to renounce something, is that what I have to renounce? Because I'm not sure I really, I don't believe that. We had a great conversation. You know, as I said to this person that, these are wonderfully mythic, poetic terms that try to grasp something of incredible depth. You know, throughout humanity, we have tried to deal with evil, darkness. And those who have gone before us have tried to grasp that as we do. And this idea of Satan and a devil is just one way of trying to get a sense of that evilness, of that darkness, what Star Wars calls the dark side. You know, we capture it in an image. And so it's not so much that we're not literally interpreting it as there's actually a person who's a devil, at least in my opinion. You can disagree. But it's really more of a mythic, poetic way of grasping something of incredible depth. And so this morning in our gospel reading, we hear about a man possessed by demons, and we can say once again, oh, demons, those people back then didn't really understand things that well. You know, they saw any kind of person in trouble or struggling as possessed by a demon. And we understand things so much better now. But you know, I'm not so sure we've gotten much better than people back in those times either. I think it's part of humanity to deal with this and struggle with this. And those ancient folks saw these demons as ways to kind of capture that. But that experience of what that's trying to capture, what the image of a Satan or a devil is trying to capture, it still seems so much part of the human experience. I'll be honest with you, as we gather today, it just seems like that darkness and that evil has just become so present in our culture, in our society, in our world, in our country, in our state. This past Friday was the anniversary, the first anniversary of the killing of folks at the Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And the Episcopal Church has invited all of us throughout the country to pray this day for those folks and to pray to figure this whole thing of gun violence in our culture, in our society. A little later, after the baptism, I'm just going to lead a couple of prayers to invite us to pray to place those people that were killed in prayer. This killing that was just killing people who are just being who they are, being where they are, just for who they were. And yet there's this evil, this sin of racism that still is so prevalent in our culture. And there's been so much since that time. People being killed, shot down. And then, of course, last Sunday, as we awoke last Sunday to the killings of folks in Orlando, killing folks of the LGBTQ community, folks who are just being who they are as they were created by God, gathering together with friends to celebrate a Saturday night, and just shot down, it seems, killed for simply who they are in this community. Where this racism, this prejudice, this hatefulness, this violence? I think it's beginning to get into our daily conversations as folks, what is going on? What is the meaning of this? We even see this hate and this prejudice and this violence, you know, bubbling up in our political process. And we see it and we know it when we see it. It's been the point of conversation with so many folks that I've dealt with this past week. On Monday, I was in touch with Shakil Ahmed, who many of you may know is the head of the Cary Islamic Association here in Cary. Their mosque is over on Chatham Street. Shakil has been here to speak and led us in a clergy forum, an adult forum, one time. Shakil was also a main person for us when we welcomed our first family, our first refugee family, who was from Afghanistan. Shakil put us in touch with a member of his mosque who's from Afghanistan and speaks the language. And so together we were working to welcome families from Afghanistan. So Shakil put out an email on Monday to folks that he knows in the community, in the faith community, in the midst of their month of Ramadan, one of the holiest times of the year for Muslims. They fast all day, break the fast at sundown. And Shakil put out this message to please come to the mosque and join in prayer, to stand against this violence to the LGBTQ community, to stand in unity against the violence in our culture, in our society, to stand up together in unity, to show forth a faith that hopefully can change this world. So I got back to Shakil. I said, I'll be there. I also had a finance committee meeting that night. So I figured, finance committee, this prayer vigil. So I did the true Anglican via media. I went to both. And I stayed for part of the finance committee to hear about our audit, which was excellent. And then I went to the mosque. And it was set up outside. There were speakers outside, and folks were driving by and were stopping to see what was going on. Some were coming in. And when I arrived there, some of the folks I've gotten to know a little bit from the mosque came up to me and said, "Oh, we're so glad you're here. So you're going to be one of the speakers." I said, "I must have missed that line in the email." So I'm standing there just, you know, right away sort of thinking. And I want to share a little bit with you of what I said. Some of this you may have heard in different contexts, but it wasn't like I sat down and spent hours preparing this talk. I had about 5 minutes, but it came from, it came kind of from my heart, from where I find myself in this journey. I shared with the community there who were predominantly Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, all descendants of Abraham. All from the family of Abraham. So we don't recognize it all the time, but we are part of a family. But again, by saying that wondrous line of St. Augustine, St. Augustine once said, "Restless is my heart until it rests in you, O Lord. Restless is my heart." I don't know about you, but that sense of restlessness for me, seems to describe the human condition. You know, from the moment we're born, there's a restlessness as we seek to understand who we are, understand this world, understand all of creation. There's a seeking for meaning, and there's a restlessness while we're in that process. On just a simple level, maybe you ever have the experience of working on something. Maybe it's at work, you're at your computer, you're trying to figure something out, it's getting more and more complex. You know, there's things you might be saying you don't want to repeat, you're so frustrated. And all of a sudden, boom, Ah, there it is. It makes sense. You've pulled it together, whatever it is. And you literally may pull back from your computer desk in your chair and say, ah, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. You know, you rest. You know, when you find meaning, you rest. And on a much deeper level, I think that's the quest that we're on, this greater search for meaning in our world around us. And so I invited all of us at this gathering to seek that meaning in our traditions. And that, you know, I share with folks that, you know, for so long, I always thought that I was a human being who was trying to learn how to be spiritual. But, you know, I've come to the point in my journey where I just do believe that we are spiritual beings. And we are spiritual beings because we are these seekers of meaning. That, to me, is the spiritual quest. And I think we're rather spiritual beings trying to figure out what it means to be human. Because we haven't always done that so well. What does it look like? What does it mean? And how can we touch that meaning of what humanity is about? I share with folks there that for me as a Christian, Jesus is the one who gives my life meaning. Jesus is the one who shows me what it looks like. Jesus is the one who shows me what it can be, what life can be. And I invited all of us there in our various faith traditions to dig deep, no matter what tradition we're from. Because we are born, we are spiritual, and that spirituality is that search for meaning. Whether we are Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, agnostic, atheist, or a title we use today, none, I'm none of those. Whatever we are, because we have been created, we are searching for meaning. And so let us go, as I said, let us go deep into our faith traditions. Not on a superficial level, but go deep and stand against Satan. Stand against the demons. Stand against the violence. Stand against the hatred. Stand with folks who are becoming victims of that. To stand with our LGBTQ community. To stand where there is the sin of racism. To stand with people as a people of faith. As we walk together into who God's calling us to be. And so I shared those thoughts the other night. Channel 11, ABC News was there, and we got some coverage at 12:10. It was the night of the basketball game by the time the news came on, but Channel 11 News was there chatting with folks, and it was just, can't describe the feeling I had when you read the media who portrays the Muslim community, the LGBT, you read the media, but you're standing there with people of faith, united, together, standing for something that is deep in all of our faith traditions. And so I felt proud to represent all of us there the other night, and I invite us to continue this journey forward. Let us continue to be restless, because the answers are not easy. But let us stay in that journey, stay in that walk, stay in that spiritual journey of seeking meaning, and look to Christ. Look to Christ for us who are Christian. Look to Christ who gives us the meaning of life. And let ourselves be united. As I've often said, faith traditions are like fingers that are pointing to the beyond, point to the wonder of the stars beyond us. Our faith is that finger. Our Christianity is that finger that points us to the holy. The Muslim's finger points them to the holy. The Jewish tradition points them to the holy. Other faith traditions call them to the holy. The trouble is, so often we get stuck comparing each other's fingers. And we don't see the wonder that it's all calling us to. When we can begin to converse and have conversations about the wonder that we've experienced in our journey, with the wonder that others have experienced in their faith journeys, we'll certainly live into the dream. the dream of this creation that God has offered us as we live into its fullness. So let us gather this day in the midst of all that is going around us and go deep into our traditions and continue the journey together.